let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle. I'm Danny Gallagher. And here we are once again, Father John, to do another one of these podcasts. We're talking about the Abrahamic covenant with God, and this is sort of the final stage of that.
Yeah, the way we're approaching it, it is, because we, you know, have the initial aspect of the covenant when God invited Abraham to
to a new land.
To come to the land and the promise of land and seed and great name and a great nation, all that sort of thing. And then it goes right into the covenant ceremony in chapter 15. And then we talked last podcast of the sign of the covenant, which is circumcision.
Right, in chapter 17.
Right, and upon the circumcision, we see that Isaac is born. Now, again, we talked about how God takes his good old time, right? And
yeah,
even Abraham wasn't all that faithful in the sense that, you know,
he did
his
have
wife
a...
Sarah actually gave the maid to him. And so, you know, since God's not moving on this, let's help out. Let's take matters in our own hands.
Right.
That's classic unbelief.
Okay? Yes, right. Classic humanity.
But in spite of that, God still,
stuck with the covenant.
Yeah.
And he brought Abraham to a place where everything was fulfilled, both land and seed, his descendants.
Exactly. And so Abraham is the father of faith, and where there's faith, there's testing. We saw that in the garden, where there's faith, you know, there's testing. They were tested and they failed, right? And God tested Noah's faith.
Sure.
Right, and he tests whatever his faith. There's always testing because God strengthens us through these tests. Now, with every test, you know, there's the devil on one side and God on the other, right? We can go either way with this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But God tests us to strengthen us. The devil tries to destroy us through his temptations, and that's why it's in James, no one is tempted by God, i.e., to do evil, right?
Right.
But here in chapter 22, God tested Abraham. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is the
ultimate test.
Yeah.
I can't even. The story of Isaac, where he is asked to sacrifice his own son, that is so, it becomes so personal because if you have children, it's incredible.
Yeah. And it's not just children, though. It's Yitzhak, laughter.
Right, yeah.
The one that came about by divine promise and everything of his whole life, the trajectory of his whole relationship with God rested on Yitzhak.
Yeah.
Okay. And so God tells him, go. In the Hebrew, it's very powerful. Okay. By the way, whenever God calls a man of God or woman of God, the response usually is "Hineni," behold, here I am. I'm here for you.
Oh, right.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And he responds to God, "Hineni, I'm here." You know, it's very simple but profound. Okay, and so God, I like to think of God taking aim with his arrow. Okay, he's going right for the heart of things, where he says, "Take your son," okay, in the Hebrew, and then your only son, whom you love.
Yeah.
Yitzhak. Okay. With each one of these, he's aiming right for the very heart of Abraham.
Yeah. Getting closer and closer to that emotional sense. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, he was a rich man. He said, "Hey, God, do you want some money? I got some money."
Right.
Right.
What can I do for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Anything
else?
Yeah,
whatever, you know. And, you know, but he just goes for Yitzhak. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's very important. It's an incomprehensible command. With our reason, we can't do it. I mean, ever since the Enlightenment, agnostics and
atheists.
That's it.
Thank you.
They just mock this whole thing, saying this is ridiculous. Okay. They don't see the profound sublimity of this whole thing. And it is very sublime.
Yeah.
Because when you follow through the whole thing, you see that Abraham doesn't say boo.
Yeah. Yeah, he just goes.
All he does is tells the servants, we're going to stop here, you know, stay with us. My son and I will go and we'll come back. That's all Abraham says. But as you go through the motions, you can imagine his thoughts that were screaming in his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he doesn't say a word.
Right. The darkness that his mind would be dropping down into. That's what I kept thinking, how frantic he must have been as he gets closer and closer.
Yeah.
You know, on this trek.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going to happen, and it's
horrible. He doesn't squeak a word.
Yeah.
He's just very obedient.
Right.
Yeah.
So sublime in the sense that it's awe-inspiring or
yeah.
I mean, that's the word that sort of, I mean, there sublime can be a lot of different things, beautiful and things like that. But I think inspiring is probably.
Inspiring, moving is another word for it. Mm. Okay. Because we are drawn into the pathos of the man because we can all imagine ourselves in his shoes.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And I can only imagine being in his shoes with the horrible feeling that would have been overcoming me.
Right.
And then truthfully, I just wouldn't have done it.
Well,
you know what I mean? That's the problem.
You would fail the test, Danny.
That's right. That is exactly correct. That's what I was thinking as I was reading through this. I would just be failing the test.
Well, you see, the thing that's going on in Abraham's mind is well, you know, the pagans, they offer their firstborns or their sons, you know.
Yeah.
Is Yahweh, who I've grown to learn is a transcendent God who's above magic and beyond all this pagan stuff going on around here.
Mm-hmm.
How come he's demanding the same thing of me? Is he any different?
Right, right. That's the gigantic question is, why is God kind of reverting back to this human sacrifice idea that was well known in the time, but just unaccepted or not accepted by, you know, the Hebrew people?
What? You use the word reverting, and I'm thinking that's a good word to use here in his mind. Man, okay, what's going on? I'm going backwards here.
So
this is all sublime because we're invited into it very emotionally.
Yeah.
And another thing that it does, and this is shocking, this is very shocking, is that by commanding this, God is really saying that the whole concept of human sacrifice is not off.
Yeah, not off the table.
Not off the table.
Right. And later on in human history, we see that he does it.
See, the pagans got something right. Okay. If there are the gods out there, what can I give that is the most important thing to me to show the gods that I want whatever I get or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Well, my children. So sacrifice the children. I mean,
gosh,
it was painful. I'm sure it was painful.
Painful?
But, you know, but that's what it is. Sacrifice should be painful.
And
I don't think anybody of our church really understands that.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Sacrifice should be painful.
Yes,
I don't think anybody in our church really understands that.
Sure.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, that's like when we talk about sacrificial giving, like a stewardship and things like that.
If you don't feel it, then it's not a sacrifice, at all, is it?
Exactly. Sure, yeah. True.
And so human sacrifice is affirmed. Basically here, okay, in a way, okay?
Yes, right.
Yeah. In a way, okay? So he binds Isaac. This is called the Akedah, okay? The binding of Isaac by the Jews, okay? And this is fundamental, fundamental to everything, everything of our belief, the Akedah. First of all, Isaac was obviously big and strong enough to carry his own wood.
Right, yeah. But he didn't fight. He didn't battle. He just...
Yeah, and Abraham was an old guy.
Right, exactly.
He could have put Abraham on this thing.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's what he wanted to do.
But the fact is that he willingly laid himself and before his father, right. Even though it was inexplicable to him too. God's not in the habit of explaining himself when these things happen, okay? Yeah, he never explained to Adam and Eve in the garden why taking from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is the wrong thing. I mean, after all, God planted it, and it's there, right?
Right, sure, yeah. I didn't even think about that, truthfully, until just now. You know, we talked about how horrible it must have been for Abraham, but once Isaac began to realize there was no other sacrificial animal, and he was bound, and Abraham is standing over him with the knife.
Yeah.
What was going through his mind?
Well, he actually says, God. My father, you know, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where's the sacrifice?
Right.
Abraham says, God will provide one.
Yes.
You're it.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Right? Unless God steps in and, he's just, following what God tells him to do, right?
Wow. Mm.
And so when he's raised the knife, the angel stops him. The angel's so impressed with Abraham.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's impressed because it's a reversal of the fall.
Uh-huh, right, exactly.
Because Adam and Eve blew it.
Yeah.
But Abraham did it.
He did the exact opposite those two.
Yeah, right. In the face of inexplicable command, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so God is impressed with him, and he says, "I swear by myself that I'm gonna do everything I promised you."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so this is kind of like the capstone of what we call a promissory covenant.
Yeah,
but you see that there's much obedience that's needed even in a promissory covenant. A lot of people say, "Well, it's all by grace, it's a promise, not by works, and blah blah blah." No, you see, faith and works working together. I mean, that's what James says in chapter 2.
Sure, absolutely.
This whole Protestant separation between faith and works is like, one of the most evil things that has happened.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't make any sense at all. So, I mean, that's a strong word I use for evil. I got a lot of Protestant friends that, I love them. My family is too.
Right, sure, right. Yeah. But I've had many discussions about that exact thing with a lot of Protestant friends.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like some kind of a mental, spiritual block in the head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is inherited. It's a slogan.
Mm-hmm.
A slogan that's given to the masses to make some sort of simple statement that's really too complex and it moves people in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it means a lot to them, but it's just too bad. So anyways, having said that, this is a promissory covenant, but every promissory covenant has stipulations because God's very, very sharp. He even says that because Abraham has done my commandments and did what, therefore I'm going to bless him. But here I'm going to do this no matter what happens, no matter what happens with your seed, which are going to be a lot of bad things, terrible things. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's not dependent on humans anymore. It's going to, I'm going to do this. And that's a very important thing, It's the grace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something really important here. We know that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of human sacrifice, okay? So what God sort of, with Abraham, what he prevented from happening to his son, and by providing a ram, is something. God never asks us something that he himself is not willing to do.
Sure.
And so he, it becomes a picture, the Akedah, the binding of Isaac to the cross, and Jesus and the Father.
Yeah.
Willing to sacrifice his son, and actually does it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you see how human sacrifice is implicitly a necessary thing.
Yes.
Because the blood of bulls and goats don't do it. And as Scott Hahn in his book, it's really good, Covenant by Oath, I think it's, you know, it's really a hard read, you know, but the Akedah, what it does is from then on out, every Hebrew who sacrifices the sacrificial animals is accepted on the basis of Abraham and Isaac in the Akedah.
Ah,
in other words,
yes.
It wouldn't be acceptable except for this critical event.
Yeah, this critical action.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it looks forward, in a sense, to the cross. And the cross actually goes backward, too.
Mm.
Because in anticipation, all these sacrifices, which is legitimized by the Akedah,
mm-hmm.
is under the ultimate fulfillment,
yeah.
which is the sacrifice of Jesus. So the cross is at the center of time. It goes back all the way to Abraham and Isaac, even back to creation when you get to the tree of life.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting because I know that, I don't know, a little tidbit of information that I remember is that when Jesus enters Jerusalem, he comes in through the same gate that they bring the lambs in that are brought in for sacrifice. I didn't really realize that. I don't remember how I learned that, but I thought that was an amazing, just a little, additional part of the story that makes it all kind of come full circle.
And in Chronicles, it said that Mount Moriah, which is identified as Mount Zion, was the very mount where Christ was crucified, was where Abraham sacrificed Isaac.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that identification is very, very interesting in the mind of the Jews as well.
Yeah. So there's so many connections to this this act that happens with Abraham and Isaac,
mm-hmm.
to the whole story of the people all the way to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, isn't all this thrilling when you think about it?
It is. It's amazing. It's a lot of fun to think about and to learn more about, I think, is the best thing for me.
And I'm always learning, too. I mean, mm-hmm. even in these podcasts, going back and forth with you, I see things, you know, oh, wow, you know, and more clearly.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so anything else to add about that? We're finished with the Abrahamic covenant?
Well, we're done with the covenant, but we're going to go back and look at major motifs that are in the stories of the Abraham cycle.
Right, so that'll be from chapters...
chapters 12 to about 22, 23, yeah, something like that. Yeah,
okay,
right.
Good.
We aren't covering it all methodically, you know, step by step. Or kind of, I chose to do it this way because I really wanted to hit the covenant really hard in these four podcasts, so
good.
Clear in people's minds. Yeah.
Okay. Good. So, looking forward to the next one. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay. God bless you.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.